you know, we get all set in our ways on how we got to do the service. You know, if anything gets out of order, it shakes us up. But I don't know that it's going to be done the same way we do it when we get to heaven. It might be just a little bit, I'm sure it'd be a whole lot better, but it might be a little bit different too. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And as said already, each one that's here, Lord, and we ask for your presence, Lord. Without you, it doesn't matter who's here, Lord. We need you above all things. Lord, we need to have fellowship with you. Lord, we're asking for each one here to be have their mind open, Lord, their hearts prepared, Lord, that we can hear what you need to say to us, Lord. You know every need we have, Lord, and we're weak, we're needy, Lord, trust in you, and we'll put the service into your hands tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I gave you a little advertisement this morning, preaching. Hopefully, maybe that encouraged some of you to come back. But the title of the message tonight is A Hearing Heart, A Hearing Heart. We see Solomon. This is talking about Solomon. He's on the throne now. His father David had died. Solomon had said, you know, Solomon said, "I'm a little child," but he was actually about 20 years old. But what he meant there was that, you know, at 20 years old, he saw his inadequacies, perhaps also the counselors that he had. Probably all of his counselors were older than he. Some of his counselors were probably his father's counselors from a long time back, and so they were elderly men. He looked at these men, wise men. He looked at himself, and he said, "You know, I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in," which really what he was referring to is, you know, leading a nation. I mean, you've called me to lead a nation. And so, you know, God said to him, he said, "Well, listen, what shall I give thee?" Boy, what a question, right? I mean, when you think about that, and God says to you, "Listen, what shall I give ye thee?" I mean, David, Solomon could have asked for anything. He could have asked for long life. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for expansion of the kingdom that he had, which probably would translate into more money. But he could have asked for a lot of things. And but you know, he sat there and he looked at some things. And when we look at the answer that Solomon had, you know, he asked for an understanding heart. He asked for discernment. We see that. And I looked at that and I thought about this. I said, well, you know, Solomon had to have a certain amount of discernment already just to ask or to make the request that he made of God when God said, "Listen, what do you want?" We know later on, if you read farther than I read, Solomon asked for this wisdom and understanding heart, that God gave him a lot of things that he didn't ask that he could have. He did give him riches and things like that, wealth. He gave him that. But, you know, I look at it. We look at what did he already had discernment. What did he already understand? Well, I'll tell you what he understood, and this is a great thing to understand. He understood that the blessings that his father had, the blessings that David, his father, had, was because his father, number, you know, followed God. He followed the Lord. You know, you read back up there a little bit. He said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy." He knew that he had received mercy according as he walked before thee in truth. So we know that he followed God. And in righteousness and in uprightness, in other words, he was trying to be obedient and was mostly obedient. He said, uprightness of heart with thee. And so because of that, he understood that the blessing that his father received was from the Lord because he followed him, he walked in truth, and that he had an upright heart. He said, you know, there's some blessings that go along with that. That doesn't mean there won't be adversity. It doesn't mean that there won't be trials, tribulations that you have in your life. I mean, these people out here that say, well, listen, if you're obedient and following God and boy, everything's going well, you're going to wake up in the morning with a Rolls Royce in the driveway. You're never going to have a problem. You're going to be healthy the rest of your life. You know, that's crazy. I mean, that prosperity preaching, that's not a reality about life, because actually God is teaching us about himself when we learn more in a trial, or a tribulation than we do when we're in prosperity, really. So he draws us close to himself there. But he understood there was some blessings that went with that. Solomon, his son, knew that. He said, I know why. My dad was blessed by God because he followed God with an upright heart. He walked in truth. Another thing that he understood already was that he said, you know, I'm just a child. I'm really small. And that this nation is great. He said, I'm a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, verse 8, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So he saw himself as inadequate to lead such a great nation. That took great discernment. And he also saw that God's people were great. It was a great nation. I mean, it was God's chosen people. He saw that. He said, and you're giving me the responsibility to lead this people. He understood this. He understood that this was God's people and that God had a plan for his people. That God had a plan for his people to fulfill on earth. And now he had this responsibility to lead them. So he's thinking about all the things that I really need. I took discernment to say, man, I'm going to need some wisdom. I'm going to need an understanding heart. I'm going to need some discernment to really lead this people. Solomon was a wise man. The Bible says there was none on the earth wiser than he was. I mean, other than Christ. I like the story of Solomon and his story, where there was two women that had babies born, and one of the babies died during the night, and the other woman came and stole that woman's baby and put it in hers, and so they had a big dispute, and they took it to Solomon. This is how wise he was, and she said, the one woman said, you know, told the story, and Solomon said, oh, said yeah, and she said, no, this is, both of them were saying it was her baby. And so he looked at the one woman that had the child and said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll take that baby and I'll cut it in half and I'll give you half and I'll give the other one half. And you know, the one that it wasn't really her baby said, well, okay. And the one woman that was her baby, she said, no, don't do that. Let her have it. He said, you're the mother. Huh? That's pretty wise right there. That's pretty wise. He said, you're the mother. And he gave the child to her. So he knew, because a mother would never. He knew a mother would never do that. He had some wisdom. I mean, there's lots of stories about the wisdom of Solomon, although he failed later in life. We'll talk about that as we go along just a little bit. But so he knew some things. And he said he wanted to be able to discern between good and bad. I think in verse 9, he said, that I may discern between good and bad. Now here we got a little bit of he could have been a little wiser on that one. See, because here's the deal. It's one thing to have the ability to discern or know between what is good and bad, but it's not the same as having the ability to do the good and not the bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people, most people that do something wrong, you know, I find that sad. Most people that do something wrong, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I know I'm doing wrong, but, you know. Well, if you know you're doing wrong, why don't you just do it? So, you know, we know. I mean, how many of you really? I mean, most of you have been in church most of the time. There's very little sin that we commit that it was like an accident. Like, well, you know, I just didn't know that was sin. You know, didn't know. No, we know. We already know. I don't have to stand up here even though I do. I don't have to stand up here and say, look, this is sin. You already know that. You already know it. But and so we see the problem really in life. It's not really discerning good and bad. Although I will say, in the day that we're living in today, that line is getting blurred. There's a lot of people that I don't think they really do know the difference between good and bad. So there's a different thing between knowing good and evil and the ability to do good and not to do evil. And despite all of Solomon's wisdom, as we said, and we see the requests that he had, we know that as time went on, he married hundreds of wives. I think he had over 700 wives. Can you imagine? He couldn't be too smart. Huh? I mean, he had 700 wives. You know what I'm... that's what he'd been doing sitting around in his spare time. 700 wives, and here's the worst of it. Those wives led him into idolatry later on in his life. He was worshiping idols instead of the one true God. And look at this. Isn't this... You know, I mean, I guess we can all fit here. We all fit in. He knew that his dad was blessed because he had an uprightness of heart and followed God, and yet he got led into idolatry. And I really do not understand that. I mean, I understand that we're sinners. I do. I understand that. And I understand that we might sin and we might fall into some kind of sin. But I do not understand. Of course, I didn't live in that day, and we don't have the same temptations that they had. I do not understand saying, man, I'm going to go down here and worship this big chunk of wood right here. Yep, you know, bow down. You know, I can't understand that. That part, I don't get it. I mean, I can say, well, you know, I'd be one of the ones, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but, you know, I know God's watching, but, you know, I mean, I would still believe in the one true God. That I don't understand, but that just shows you where the heart can get if, you know, we get far away from God. Now, and the idolatry thing, there's a lot that goes along with that, part of that. So, the problem is a heart problem, and we understand it. And the real, I see a real lack of this word. I was doing something, and I heard this word discernment being used, and I thought, man, you know, I thought about it, and I said, I see a lack of discernment among God's people today. I just see that. Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to quit telling you all this. I say a lot of times, but I know what people do, man. People, Christian people, post the stupidest stuff on Facebook. You got to be a moron to put some of this stuff on there, calling yourself a Christian, and then putting a picture of yourself in some kind of a sinful situation or, you know, I mean, and so you got to wonder, do they know that this action or what they're involved in is sin? You know, you just wonder, and because the line, you know, we look at the world today, I mean, certainly, when we look at the world we live in today, there's not a whole lot that's considered sin, right? I mean, homosexuality is not considered sin. Abortion is not considered sin. You know, drinking, drugging, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's not, you know, there's not a lot in the world that's considered sin. And I'm going to tell you what, the church is getting right behind the world on this deal right here, that we just can't understand or see that line's blurred. What is really good and what is evil? So see, we need to pray. This is a good thing. That's a good prayer. Lord, you know, at least let's start there. Lord, you know, give me discernment to understand the good and the evil. We need to know that. Now we also need the strength. And we don't have it in our own natural self. We have to trust Jesus Christ, have to have the Holy Spirit of God to have the power to resist the good and the evil. But we got to start with knowing what it is. And I'll show you that, in just a few of the points that I kind of put together for this message here. So we need that spirit of discernment more than ever as the people of God. And it has to deal, that deals with the heart. It deals with the heart. It doesn't matter how smart the mind is. Solomon had it. He was the wisest. He wrote most of the Proverbs, if not all the Proverbs. He wrote those. And when you see the wisdom of the Proverbs, he wrote those down. It doesn't matter how smart the mind is. That's wisdom. If the heart is wrong, all the rest of life will be wrong. That's how Solomon ended up going off into idolatry later on in life. The Bible says, out of the heart spring the issues of life. Out of the heart spring the issues of life. And so here's what Solomon, I looked this up, and when you see that phrase, when he said, you know, I want an understanding heart that I may discern, and that word discern right there, this is what he was asking for in verse 9. He said, God, I want a hearing heart. That's what that phrase actually means. A hearing heart. That's the title of the message, a hearing heart. He wanted a hearing heart. See, you got to hear. Doesn't matter if you hear in the mind. Lots of people hear in the mind. If you hear in the mind, it's still up in the air as to whether you're going to obey or disobey. When you hear in the heart, now we're getting down to the issue. That's what God wants to deal with right there, kind of point that out along the way. And most people, like I say, have heard with the ears. And the ears and the mind aren't where we have a problem. It's just in the heart, here with the heart. To have discernment means this. It means to be skillful, and this is what he asked for, to be skillful in the management of life. Be skillful in the management of life. And this means your personal life, your family life, that area there. You know, a lot of people, and I've noticed this, a lot of people that have, they're very skillful in the management, say, of business. You could be a mastermind at business and still, your life could still be a mess. Your family could still be a mess. You could be skillful in managing. We watch football teams, and I was watching. I noticed, and I've read biographies about sports coaches, and a lot of you guys that are old enough to remember Dick Vermeil. You remember Dick Vermeil, and he coached the Philadelphia Eagles. He had a nervous breakdown because he was literally living at the football headquarters wherever they practice, the practice and training facility, late at night. There, he's managing the football team well, but what was his family life like? You know, there's a lot of stories that go along with that. People, even Andy Reid later on, he had his trouble with his family life. He spent a lot of time involved in that. But you could be a mastermind football coach, manage a football team, general manager, whatever, but still not manage your life, your family, your internal affairs. A lot of people can do all those things and they turn out being their alcoholics or drug addicts. They don't raise their family, their kids, or their absentee fathers. Those type things are rare. So have discernment means to be skillful in the management of life. There's people that could be skillful in the management of government, although we don't have any in this country, but there are people that are skillful in the management of government, but yet their family life or in the management of their life could still be in a bad way. And so I want to give you just a few areas of life. Didn't really get this alliterated. I just kind of got some things down. We're going to look around in the Bible some different places because it's a topical message and not everything's going to come out of the text that we have that we started out with tonight. But I want to give you a few areas where we need discernment. The very first one is spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Spiritually discerned. In other words, they don't have a spiritual discernment. Now, we see from that text right there that there's two kinds of discernment. Really, there's a natural discernment and there's a spiritual discernment. Now, natural discernment is, I guess God gives, I put down there all people, but then I thought, well, maybe not. Maybe most people have a natural discernment. A natural discernment is like this. Somebody was commenting today at our family little get-together, or maybe it was at Sunday school this morning. Brian was kind of commenting how I'm prone not to do the speed limit when I'm driving. Paul's not here, so we can go ahead and say that. I'm prone to kind of go over the speed limit a little bit when we drive and all that. But there is something that's reining me back just a little bit. You know, I mean, I would go a little bit faster. I was in Sicily when I was in the Navy, and Sicily had the Autostrada. It's like the Autobahn in Germany, Autostrada. No speed limit on the Autostrada. You can drive as fast as you want. Now, there was something else holding. I drove a lot faster than I do here, but there was also something that held me back there. This is natural discernment. The one thing that holds me back here is I don't want to get a ticket because it's going to cost me money, and I don't want to lose my driver's license if you get points on that. That's natural discernment, common sense, right? This is hot. If you stick your finger on it, it's going to burn you. You don't have to have spiritual discernment for that. You have natural discernment. When I was over in Sicily, I drove about 90 miles an hour. I didn't drive faster than 90 miles an hour because then my natural discernment was the piece of junk that I was driving in might fall apart, or them may pop tires, might finally give out, and then it's going to be a mess when you're going over 90 miles an hour. So 90 was kind of where I felt pretty comfortable driving down the Autostrada. So there was some natural discernment. You know, in other words, consequences are the motive there. Consequences is the motive of the natural discernment, what might happen there. And you think about, well, what keeps you from murdering somebody? Well, they either put you to death or they might lock you up forever. Because you know there are some people you feel like, there's some things that hold you back. Robbing, this and that. The law, in other words. There's the law, the consequences of your action. But now we get to spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. When you think about this, what laws in society are there that govern the mind? What laws do we have in society that really govern the mind? Nothing. I mean, what governs you from having lust in society? The law, you're in a no lust zone. Can't lust here, got it. No, we don't have that, right? I mean, I've never seen. What governs you from hatred? What laws does society have to keep you from having pride or coveting? See, there's no laws outside. There's nothing like that outside to govern that. So what happens is, God, in spiritual discernment, God addresses the heart. This is where you got to deal with that. You got to deal with the mind here. And boy, if you get that straightened out, the rest of the stuff on the outside will be, going along. But now, so God doesn't, when you think about God, God doesn't address the problem of premarital sex by handing out condoms. What God does is address the morality, or the immorality of premarital sex. God deals with that. There's also consequences. I mean, we understand, even with God, there's the consequences of hell. There's the consequences of unwanted things taking place along the way. But God basically speaks to the heart. God uses a different motivation. Really, God tries to, and this took me the longest time when I got saved to get this straightened out. I wish I knew what I know now. But see, God, we used to think when I got saved, and I was in a very legalistic church. We were talking about that earlier. I was in a legalistic church. I know why my pastor was like that. But man alive, I got saved, and it was like, boy, you can't do this, you can't do it. How many of you got a little kid, a little two-year-old kid? You ever notice how many times you say, don't, Kyle, you probably know. don't, no. You always say, and it seemed like, man, and if you're on the other receiving end of that, it's like, man, I can't do anything because everything I get ready to do, you can't do it. And I got in, and my church was like, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I thought, man, I felt like a Jew, man. I was worried I was breaking the law. I thought every time I made a move, I'm going to bend a blade of grass. It's going to be work. I'm working on Sunday. I didn't know what to do that. But Christianity, and a lot of people are still caught up in that, and Christianity is they're saying, well, Christianity is a whole bunch of rules and regulations, and you got to sort all this out so you know. And I'm going to show you in a minute that we do have to know what sin is. We have to discern between good and bad, sin and evil. We do have to do that. But here's the thing. When we're operating under the motive of love, it's a whole lot different than operating under the motive of law, and that's what God is trying to get us to. When we love God, listen, the motive changes right off the bat. You're not worried about consequences of like, well, I might go to hell or I might lose blessings. You're motivated by the consequences of breaking God's heart. That's a different thing. This is spiritual. You get in spiritual discernment. God uses love. Love for Him and love for your brother. I mean, that's really what God wants to deal with, on that level there. When you start operating under that, boy, it's a whole different plane than worrying about the rules and regulations. You don't want to do it for different reasons. In Philippians chapter 1, we've been studying Philippians in Wednesday night, but we're past chapter 1. Verse 9 says, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, that's in the head, and in all judgment. That word judgment is discernment. See, when you judge, is it right, is it wrong? That's a discernment. You got to know this. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So see, down here he said, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, discernment. That ye may approve things that are excellent. You'll know what they are. That ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. See, so we see there the need. 1 John 4:1, and a lot of stuff's in 1 John. I'm going to go over there and look at some things. If you get there, that's fine. You don't have to, but I wrote this down. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of but whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know what you have to do? There's things that you need to know in your head, but to know them, you have to have spiritual discernment, because we're dealing in, there's the spiritual side of things, the spiritual world, right? You got to try the spirits. And so many people today, I think they just don't know. I'd say one problem I see in the church today is people do not know what they believe. They don't know what they believe. Man, they don't know about the doctrine of eternal security. They don't know, anything. People will join up with churches, man. They don't know what do they believe about salvation. I don't know. They don't know. You know, they don't think about this. Spiritual discernment. Man, today, listen, I'll tell you one of the dangers of laying out of church. You lay out of church long enough, you're going to get a knock on the door. It's going to be a couple of people standing there. If it's two young boys with white shirts and name tags on, it's the Mormons. If it's a man and a woman with Bible and dressed pretty conservatively, it's probably the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're going to come in. Man, they're going to have Bibles. They're friendly people. They're nice people. They'll come in and talk with you about it. They're going to treat you right and all that. And they'll come have a Bible study at your house. And they're going to use some terminology that you might be familiar with. They'll speak the name of Jesus. They'll tell you. They might speak about heaven. They might use some things right there. But you got to try the spirits, whether they be of God. You don't think Satan's going to pop in here in a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand, do you? The Bible says he transformed himself into an angel of light. You got to have some spiritual discernment to see if that light is God's light or the angel of light from Satan, you know, the light from Satan. I mean, you have to understand that. Try the spirits and know whether they be of God. So there's a lot of areas where you need spiritual discernment. I didn't exhaust it by any stretch of the imagination, but we've got to know false prophets will come. People teaching not the truth, and you think, well, how come we have 999 different denominations? Because somebody believes something different about the Bible. Now, all of us can't be right. We can all be wrong, but we all can't be right if it's a doctrinal conflict there in a major place there. So you have to know that because they'll use the very word of God to try to deceive you, and then you'll know if you have spiritual discernment. Another area, the second thing that I want to talk about tonight is discern between truth and error. 1 John 4:6, the Bible says, we are of God, that he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I was sharing with you when we were out in Colorado, this guy was out there last year. He had these neat rugs all hanging out there by the Walmart. Had a little rack, he hung them up all on, some wildlife ones. Got a real cool bear looking one. And I liked the rug, but I didn't know what Sherry would, she wanted that one or not. But we needed a runner, like a runner in front of our rug. We had, or in front of our couch. We had one, I didn't like it. And this guy had a neat one. I saw him last year, went over there. He's a nice guy. I mean, he was a nice, friendly guy. He's all laid back and easygoing kind of, you know. And I looked at the rug, good price on that. So I paid him and he said, hey. He said, let me give you something before you go. And he gave me this little booklet. Spiritual discernment, see? Right off the bat, I said, well, who's this from? Oh, it's just something I give out to everybody. I said, what's it about? I was kind of trying to see what he would say. He said, it's just something I give out to people. And, you know, and it said happiness, something about how to be happy. Well, I know how to be happy. I got a book right here all about it. Huh? I got a book right here. It's called The Bible. It'll tell you everything about being happy. So I was flipping it over. Randy got one of them, see, and he was just kind of looking in the front pages, and I flipped it over on the back, and way down there in itty-bitty print, I could barely see it with my old eyes that I got. Didn't put my glass on. It says L. Ron Hubbard. I was sharing this with maybe the Wednesday night group. It said L. Ron Hubbard on there. I said, so do you subscribe to the belief of the Scientologists? He said, yes, I do. I'm a dummy, man. I gave it back to him. I should have kept it because I knew he was going to give it to somebody else. I should have kept the thing. Well, I said, well, let me have a couple more of those. But I didn't. I'll take the whole box. But I gave it back. We gave it back to him. And so I said, I'm a Christian. And I said, he goes, hey, I believe in Christ. I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian too. He said, I've been saved. And we started talking to this guy. Nice guy, sincere guy. And he started telling me, he said, listen, well, you know, he said, let me ask you a question. I said, okay. And he said, do you believe that there's a hell that people can be sent to eternally, for eternity? And I said, yes, I do. He said, I'll never believe that. And we got into, and he was not, I taught this guy for an hour. I'm telling you, I got a suntan while I was talking to him. It was out there in the Colorado sun. It was hot down there at Walmart. David, you've been there, Salida, man. Out there on that pavement, man, I had sweat. I had to go home and take a shower at the hotel. But anyway, I sat out there and stood out there, and I started talking to this guy, and we went back and forth. And he was basing things on, you know, what seems fair. You know, it just doesn't seem fair that, because I can believe if God sent somebody to hell for 1,000 years, he said, or, you know, 100 years, maybe even 10,000 years, but just eternity, just not fair. And, you know, I laid in bed and I flipped and flopped around, and we went all through it. I wish I shared this with Wednesday Night Crowd. I wish I'd have thought of this. If this pulpit right here had a sign on it, said it was electrically charged, it had 50,000 volts of electricity going through it, signs all the way around, red and white, and I can read, I know it, I understand what it says. It says danger. Got the international symbol for danger, even if you can't read. And I come up and I grabbed onto that thing and it killed me. Is it fair? That's pretty fair. I mean, you know, I was dumb enough to grab it. It told me not to, and I did it, right? I mean, we got the warning right here, right? We got the warning in the Word of God. We've got a warning. So, it's, you know, God's fair. Listen, God's fair. But anyhow, I didn't think of it till later, but we talked about it, and I said, listen, I said, you're thinking about, and he had all these scenarios, and we went around and all that. And then while we were there, you know, this other couple came up. They looked at the rugs, and we kept on yakking, and they were leaving, and he said, oh, well, you know, he went over there real quick, and he gave them two of them books. And I was thinking, Randy, all right, look, go after him. You know, go over there and say, hey, that's a bunch of junk. Let me have it. But he didn't do that, you know. But here's the thing. That's an error. Scientology is an error. I mean, you don't have to know anything hardly to know understand that. But 1 John says 4:6 says this, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. This guy wouldn't hear what I had to say. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And he was trying to do, it's called syncretism. He's trying to blend in what Scientology uses and blend it in with what the gospel said to say he's saved. I said, you can't. He was one of the ones, oh, it's written by man. I said, well, who wrote that? Who wrote the book? L. Ron Hubbard. The guy was a science fiction writer before he wrote it. He was a science fiction writer when he wrote it. And he's dead now, and he knows the truth now. I said, you're handing out something that was written by a man. I said, God didn't write. A man penned her down, but man didn't write. Arthur, you know. But anyway, we went around. But at the end, you know, I told him, I said, hey, man, we're going to pray for you and everything. And, I mean, it was a good, you know, we didn't get into a knockdown, drag out or nothing out there in the parking lot. Probably because it was so hot, but but you know, you got to know between truth and error. That's another thing. And then so that goes along with the spiritual discernment as well. The third thing is discern what is sin. Discern what is sin. This is right there in 1 John as well. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then in 3:4 through 10 says, whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Right there. So we got to discern what is sin. As I said, that's a problem. Listen, to avoid sin, you got to know what it is. There's a false, you hear people say this sometime. This is right out of the, they say, well, you know, you're judging. Listen, we judge every single day. We got to judge something every single day. You got to judge between right and wrong every day. People, somebody's out there committing murder. And you say, well, you're a murderer. Well, you're judging me. The Bible's already judged. God's already judged. I'm not judging. I'm just calling it what it is. I mean, a chicken's a chicken, right? If you see a chicken, it's a chicken. If it's a duck, it's a duck. If it's a murder, it's a murder. I'm just saying what it is. We've got, to avoid sin, you've got to make a call here. People having a problem here. We got to say this is sin. This is not. And Like I said, the world doesn't think much is sin. But you know, we need to know that. You know, here's another thing I see Christian folks do. Praying about doing something that God has already called it a sin. God, we prayed about it. Listen, God's not going to direct you to do something, lead you in a direction, an area of your life that's already called sin. Well, we're praying about it. You know, well, I was praying about killing that guy, but, you know, and God led me, you know. No, listen, I mean, fill in the blank with whatever, that's pretty drastic, but most people don't pray about that. But I mean, you know, there's people that do. They say, well, we're praying about doing something that is a sin. That we know is already condemned in the Bible by the Word of God that's calling it a sin. You know, and people don't even like that word anymore. They don't like to use sin. We got to put other names on top of that. And then the fourth thing is here, we got to discern what is God's will. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You got to know what is the will of God. We've got the general will of God. I guess you could break it down. There's the general will of God we have in the Word of God. What God says, this is what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Well, you know that's the will of God, the will of God for your life. This is something. I don't know how many Christians I know, they say, you know what, Pastor, I really don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, let me ask you this. Are you praying about it? Have you asked God? Well, no. Okay. You know, there's probably a good reason why you don't know. I mean, ask. This is the kind of prayer you ought to ask. God, what is the will? What is your direct will for my life that what you, I mean, we know we have the Great Commission as Christians. We understand that. You don't have to pray about, well, should I witness to somebody? You don't have to pray about that. But we need to know, we need to discern the will of God every second of every day of our life. We need to know that. But who's praying for this? You know, who's praying for wisdom? Who's praying for a hearing heart? Who's praying for this discernment? These are the things. When you hear a prayer request, and we're not getting this. We're just getting the 911 variety prayer requests and not getting this. This is the stuff God's going to answer. I mean, God's going to give us these things right here. When we discern the good and the bad, and the good and the evil, and then in the power of the resurrected life, the power of the transformed life, do the good, then we're in the perfect will of God. Then we'll be in the perfect will of God. We'll be hearing with our heart. And everything, when you preach, when you read the Word of God, it doesn't matter I know it goes into the eye and into the brain, but it's got to get to the heart. You have to hear with the heart. Otherwise, you know, knowing good and evil, like I said at the start, knowing good and evil and the ability, the power, or the discernment to do good and evil are two different things. It's two different things. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.